This spoiler-filled podcast is recorded live, unscripted, and intended for those over 18. Now prepare your ears for the audio stimulation they've been waiting for all day as we step into
the spoiler room.
And here we are on another episode of the spoiler room. It's our it's a holiday themed one, and we're doing it a little bit different. We're not going to talk about specifics or favorites like we have in the past. Today is going to be a little bit more a topical one. I kind of ran through my head a little bit, and actually it all spawned from a comment that my honorable son number one made for me way back when we watched Back to the Future 2 on the big screen, which he thought was just okay being a teenager. And I said I thought it was awesome, and he said, are you looking it through rose-colored nostalgia glasses? And that sparked my thought about holiday classics. Are they actually decent films, or are they films that we consider classics or consider good because, well, that's what we were told when we were younger? And the group here to help us answer some of these questions tonight in the spoiler room, we'll go right down the list. First off, we have the spoiler room regular himself, Mr. Cole Meredith. Hello, Cole. How are you?
Hello, Mark. Thanks for having me, man.
Glad to have you here as always. And next to him, of course, is the diva of the spoiler room herself, the one, the only, Dawn. Hello, Dawn.
Hello, Mark.
How are you tonight?
Well, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
I am too, and right now we just have rain in Wisconsin, so it's a little odd for us. And then, of course, next to Dawn, the one, the only, Scotty D. Hello, Scotty D.
Hey, good to see you, everybody.
And we're going to refer to him as Scotty D because we have another Scott in the spoiler room, newcomer to the spoiler room. Let's welcome our special guest from WeLiveFilm.com, Movie Man Manziel, Scott Manziel. Hello, sir. How are you tonight?
Wonderful, Mark. Glad to finally be a part of the spoiler room.
we've been working for a while to try to get you in here, and now we've got you chained to the pipe, so you'll never be leaving.
Well, make sure we do. We gotta do a Tim Burton episode. Then I'll be on that one too.
Well, we're working on it. Well, the 25th anniversary episode, the last one of the year, will be our Edward Scissorhands and Crybaby one. So that should be fun. But tonight we are going to talk about these holiday classics. Now, I want to go right down the list. We'll cover everybody here since we have a nice small group tonight. For you, what do you consider for a film to be a good holiday classic, what elements should it have, Cole?
I was thinking about this earlier. You know, I would say the same elements that any other, you know, the same elements I look for in a good movie, basically, which would be good characters, good cinematography, good direction, tight scripts, great sets. The only difference would be that, you know, it has to utilize the Christmas feel to its advantage, mm-hmm. you know, and that can be done a lot of different ways. I remember when we did our holiday favorite show last year, I picked Lethal Weapon as one of my favorite Christmas movies. And I wasn't trying to be ironic, you know, mm-hmm. it really does utilize the holiday to its advantage. Every film I've ever done has been set on Halloween. So in order to utilize a holiday in your film, it's not easy, you know.
Sure.
It requires an extra step that maybe you wouldn't ordinarily take. And it's interesting, you know, I did a movie within a movie for this film I'm working on. In fact, the movie that you, Mark, review as an actor in the film, and that film within a film is a Christmas movie. So I had a bit of experience kind of shooting this little Christmas movie, even though it's a fake trailer. And it was very cold and it was hard. film in the snow and do all of the things that go along with making a Christmas movie, even though I was just making this silly 5-minute trailer. It was challenging.
Sure.
Very challenging. But that's an interesting question. But, you know, again, in short, I would say I look for the things that I look for in any other good movie. Mm-hmm. The only difference being it really needs to, you know, it has to tell a good lie about Christmas, too. I mean, that's the difference also, is you can't be cynical about it. Mm-hmm. Christmas is tricky when you're dealing with it because of there's a commercial vibe that just goes along with it by its nature. So much like telling, you know, your children that Santa is real for a while, if you're telling a Christmas story to your audience, you have to do it with the best of intent. you know, it can't, if you know what I mean, you know, there's a bit of modern controversy about Christmas in general. But you know, you just have to tell a good lie. There's a way of doing that. And I think people have done it for sure.
And we'll hop over to Scott Menzel. Scott, how about you? What do you consider, what elements do you look for to that makes a holiday film, say, a classic, or what you consider a really good holiday film?
I think it really has to do with the character development and making the characters likable or believable. Mm-hmm. So you either have to, it's like one or the other. Like, there's a lot of movies where you can watch with Christmas character, like Christmas themes, that have characters that are not necessarily believable, but they're likable. And then there's other ones where they're really unlikable, and you believe them. And I don't know, it's a weird combination. But I think also it's exactly like CJ was saying, is that you really need a storyline that you can relate to, and something that really kind of stands the test of time. And I think a lot of the classic movies are movies that have that storyline where you can watch it as an adult or as a kid, and you can find something to relate to no matter what era you live in.
That's Scotty D. Let's move to you. And what would you agree with Scott Menzel on that, that you kind of have to have elements that kind of appeal to a wide range of audience to kind of help make it a classic?
For the true classics, I would say yes. I mean, there's some that just go and they kind of hit more of a niche audience, and a lot of your comedy ones you're gonna see that, and even some of the Christmas horror movies you're gonna see that. But I think that in order for them to kind of be beloved by a lot of people, and people keep bringing them up every holiday season, you're going to have to get something that is going to appeal to a lot of people. I agree with a lot of what Cole said. I look at it as you know, there's only a, we have a ton of holidays, but there's only a few holidays that evoke a certain type of emotion. You know, Halloween is one, and we all have our opinions of what makes a really good Halloween movie. Of course, the John Carpenter movie, and I always say also Night of the Demons, because every time I watch it, it makes it feel like it's Halloween every time I watch the movie. Well, Christmas is kind of the same thing, I think, is that naturally it's not the same, the exact same ingredients or anything like that. You want to, you know, it's not going to be always monsters and stuff, although there are certain scary horror Christmas movies. No, you're going to have elements of the season. You have to create the mood with the atmosphere of it. You have to create the mood with the thing. And also, where Cole was really dead on was with the heart. You have to have an earnestness about it. I mean, you're going to see there are, and I know we're going to get into like what makes a good, what are some good ones and what are some bad ones and stuff. You're going to see ones that stand the test of time. There are certain movies that people still watch, you know, 40, 50 years later that are Christmas classics that really do. When you watch it, you sit down and you're like, you know, yeah. Even, you know, in as bad as this year's been, or as bad as a rough time is, or as stressful as the holiday season even itself has been, yeah, you feel a little something, you know? You feel like the togetherness. You feel the giving spirit in it when you watch it. I don't think people are going to be doing that in 50 years' time to something like, say, like Deck the Halls, you know?
Yeah.
I think they're going to know. I think they're going to go back to, you know, Frank Capra, the Bing Crosby. And then of course a few of the ones that we were fortunate enough to grow up with have also hit that same element, but it really has to make you feel, I mean, Christmassy is an adjective.
Well, you know?
and so it really makes you have to feel like, yeah, this has the Christmas spirit infused in it.
Let me ask you about that. In terms of holiday classics. I mean, classics is funny because the word in itself means that it existed for quite some time.
Right.
I feel like a lot of the movies that they put out nowadays, they try to follow the same formula, but they don't necessarily stick because it, I think, like Love the Coopers, for example, like had a very similar theme to several Christmas movies in terms of like, oh, multiple stories going on at once. And then they're all having different storylines, but some of them work, some of them don't work, because I feel like some of them are just too cheesy for their own good when you look at it from this generation. When you go into a movie now in 2015 versus, like, say, 1989 for Christmas Vacation, certain things that work in that movie would not work if they try to repeat nowadays.
Well, when they did it in Christmas Vacation, of course, they were doing a lot of that. A lot of that was considered non-traditional then.
Right.
And now the non-traditional has become traditional. The thing about it is that audiences, especially younger audiences today, now I haven't seen Cooper's, so I can't comment on that movie, but a lot of the audiences today, especially younger audiences, there's a tendency to consider themselves as more jaded. Well, that's just the thing about Christmas, is that even if they're jaded when they come in, they can't be jaded when they come out. People can tell whether you're, you know, 8 or 80. I think people can tell when, okay, do they really have a positive, sweet message attached to this movie? Or is it really plotted out? Is it all commercial? Like, for instance, I think, a comedy that I grew up with that I think has stood the test of time, and it's certainly non-traditional, I would say, but was Scrooged.
Mm-hmm.
The Bill Murray movie Scrooged. I think that people are still watching that now, and I don't think it's just because Bill Murray was awesome in it. I think it's because they took what I consider to be the most overdone story in history, A Christmas Carol, and they actually – no, actually I really felt that they actually had their heart in the right place after all the special effects and everything, after all the hype and everything. I really do feel like they had their heart in the right place.
Well, that's
I don't,
Richard Donner once again, you know.
Yeah, well, there you go. I don't get that feeling with Christmas with the Cranks.
Sure. Well, like you said, we'll touch on more of the modern films in a little bit here. I just want to get Dawn's feelings on what she looks for in a good holiday movie and what elements she feels would make a film a classic holiday film. Dawn, why don't you go ahead?
I think that everybody's pretty much touched on what I consider the important things. The characters, for one, being very, very important. That's what where you connect as much as the story. But as I've been watching over the last couple of weeks, the movies from different periods. I've really noticed that our ideal as a society, our ideal for happiness and our ideal of what we want out of Christmas has really changed and evolved. And the really relevant movies, the ones that have stayed relevant and the ones that are truly classic, even if they were made in 1940, 1950, they can still be relevant and effective for viewing in 2015.
Right. It's what a few of you have said before, too. It stands the test of time. You want themes in there that aren't necessarily just to the current theme, which I think, to the current culture. You want something that's going to be common years down the road. At least that's what I think. For some of these holiday classics, that's what they need in there is something that's a general experience that can be applied regardless, like you said, Dawn, whether or not it's 1940, whether or not it's 2015. I mean, the one – I got a list here because we're talking about what's a good holiday film, and I was just curious across the internets because they love lists this time of year of what they consider good holiday films. And one of the common ones listed on I went to AMC, I went to E Online, I went to Forbes, Rotten Tomatoes, and 17. Yes, the site 17 did a list, which was really surprising, some of the films on there. But a couple of the common ones that ran across the board, except Rotten Tomatoes, was Elf, was one of them that showed up on each list except Rotten Tomatoes. Now, Scott Menzel, would you consider Elf a holiday classic?
Now, you know what? Out of in like the last 15 years, I would say it's one of the best ones to come out. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, but that's one. But you know, there's also a number of them mentioned Home Alone. But of course, the one that ran across every single list, except Forbes, which surprised me, was It's a Wonderful Life. The movie that is like hands off, like you don't say anything bad about this film.
Well, to be fair, this is Forbes. I mean, they were siding with Potter during that movie.
That's true. But let's talk about It's a Wonderful Life. And also another one that's on there is A Christmas Story. A White Christmas shows up. These are older films, and a lot of these older films we still associate as classic holiday films, and they're still watched today as classics. But were those films actually really good films, or are they just good because we think they are, because you know, that's the way we've kind of been raised and that's what we've kind of been told? Or are these films actually really good? And I understand what the answer is probably going to be, but I just thought it'd be a good thing to kind of discuss. So Don, would you say that these films like Miracle on 34th Street, A Christmas Story, It's a Wonderful Life, are these actually good films if you looked at them from a film point of view and not a holiday film point of view? Or are we looking at them through tinted nostalgia?
To a point, I think that there's that tint of nostalgia in there, especially for some of them. Mm-hmm. It's a Wonderful Life is just an excellent film.
Yeah.
That one isn't even that set the bar for good films.
Word.
Just good films in general.
Well, there's just a filmmaking quality in the 40s and the 50s that we just don't have today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, there is just the attention to detail in terms of a performance being dead on. You know, like James Stewart in that movie is just so iconic. No matter, you know, anyone who loves film probably can go back and appreciate it nowadays, whether you're 15 or you're like 80.
Yeah. Well, and he's the everyman in there. He's that element, like you have all mentioned near the beginning of the show, is that you want a character you like, and he's a character that can relate, because the situations he gets put in are situations pretty much everybody at some point in their life, you know, faces, or the questions that he brings up about himself and his life, I think, are a common human nature question, wouldn't you say, Cole?
Absolutely. I mean, It's a Wonderful Life is one of my 10 favorite films. I mean, it's one of my desert island movies. It's mm-hmm. It's flawless. But yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, absolutely.
So some of these classics, but then you get a movie like White Christmas, Scotty D, which I is one of my favorite films, but I look back at it and going, is it really a good movie by itself? Because in all honesty, not a lot happens in the film.
No, it's a really good movie by itself. It absolutely is. And just to go back for a second to put in my vote, yeah, It's a Wonderful Life is the best Christmas movie of all time. Mm-hmm. The great thing about It's a Wonderful Life, and I will just say it really briefly so I can, you know, stay on topic here, is that every single person can adult can relate to that movie.
Yeah.
When you're younger, of course, you have all these dreams, you have all these things, and you know, some people actually get to realize all those dreams. Most of us, you know, life happens in the way, and what that entails, what does that mean? Oh, it means you meet somebody. It means you settle down. You have a family. It means actually, you know, your career didn't pan out the way you wanted it to. It means you suddenly have all these responsibilities. It means that suddenly things can cave in, and you can feel the desperation and the dash trees. You get that. You get that. And then also get all the blessings and everything. That combined with the snowy atmosphere, combined with the nice touches of humor and stuff, blending with the tragedy, it's perfect. It's a absolutely perfect movie for Christmas, or actually any time of year. It is the Night of the Demons of Christmas, because any time you watch that movie, it feels like that. You get that Christmas spirit, and I totally get that. Mm-hmm. And that's coming from somebody who's like a chronic depressive like me. So, I mean, like, if it works, that's for me, it works for everybody. White Christmas. No, it's a really good movie. And, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of the stuff that they did in White Christmas, it wasn't the first time they did it. You know, Holiday Inn, they mm-hmm. did a lot of those tunes. But, no, does a lot happen in it? No, what is it? It's, well, these two people, they meet these two other people, and they go to this cabin, and the cabin's in, and the resort's at, in hitting the skids, mm-hmm. and they put on a show. That's it. Let's put on a show. That's the whole movie. But you know what? But you get that. But they have character development.
Sure.
And they have a vibrant color. And there's this really, it's that earnestness that I was talking about. There's this really real attempt to say, no, man, we're really trying to get together mm-hmm. and create something meaningful and show how people can help each other out in right. the season and stuff, and that's why it translates through. I mean, so I think that, no, I think a lot of the classic movies, and let's face it, we grew up with our parents watching these movies, and now we watch the movies, and then but, you know, honestly, it's like you said with your kid, who, I'm sorry, Mark, was absolutely right about Back to the Future 2. It's not that good. but, like, you know, yeah, some of the stuff we watched aren't going to appeal to the next generation. These appeal to each generation.
Sure.
Why do they do that? It's because the themes that they have and the way they do it, even though, you know, the decades change, the times change, the pressures change, the message stays constant mm-hmm. and it stays true. And I think that that really does translate. And I think that's why these are bona fide, can't argue with it classics.
Sure. Just like, another film that showed up on every single list was A Christmas Story, mm-hmm. which I think...
I will say the narration in A Christmas Story I find mm-hmm. way too precious, but I think a lot of that is just because I had to work in a store that played it on a continuous loop for a month. And so if I had to hear that, oh, when I woke up that morning, I just wanted to punch that guy. But before that job, I loved it.
So, Cole, would you say A Christmas Story is another one of those near It's a Wonderful Life where part of the reason why it stands the test of time is because it shows experiences that we've all kind of had, only maybe exaggerated a little, but...
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, A Christmas Story, again, sometimes you have to take things on a film-by-film basis.
Right.
A Christmas Story, I think, is very unique in sort of its genre of Christmas movies because there's a nastiness about it. And mm-hmm. I have – there really is. There's a certain sick, twisted quality about A Christmas Story that runs under the surface through the whole thing, from the tongue on the pole – to the father's lamp and how the mother intentionally breaks it. I mean, there's a real, you know, the ending with the duck and the Oriental. I mean, there's a real kind of darkness mm-hmm. about that movie. And that's Bob Clark directed
yeah.
that. If you look at the movies he does, I mean, one of the more underrated films of the 80s is a movie called From the Hip, which starts off as this really lighthearted, almost frat boy-esque comedy about these young lawyers kind of weaseling their way to the top. And then halfway through, as John Hurt enters the film as this sort of perverted killer of prostitutes, becomes very dark and twisted. Mm-hmm. It's one of the rare movies I've ever seen that starts out as a comedy and ends up as a real dark thriller. But backtracking, I think that's Bob Clark's touch in The Christmas Story.
Sure.
Is he's got a real twisted sense of humor. And I don't think A Christmas Story works because it's your typical holiday movie. I think it works because Christmas canon is, at times when you're a kid, a little perverted, like Ralphie in the rabbit suit. You're made to do shit that you don't want to. You don't want to wear. And it can be a horrifying experience, Christmas, sure, for a kid. It really can. And, you know, I think the Christmas Story is popular because of that.
Would you say that, Don? Agree with that? That Christmas Story is maybe a little bit more mean-spirited towards Christmas, a little bit darker?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. But, you know, in a yes, definitely more darker, definitely more snarky.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't necessarily... I'm on the fence about calling it mean-spirited, but definitely showing the
the darker side, the darker side of
the parts of Christmas that we all really are embarrassed about.
Yeah.
And Scott Menzel, what about you for A Christmas Story? Would you say that it's dark? And do Christmas stories in general lend themselves to allow you to go a little darker? Because, I mean, A Christmas Story, everybody here seems to kind of agree that it's a little darker. I mean, you've got A Christmas Carol. It's a Wonderful Life is exactly not a bright film. It gets dark as well. Do you think that's an element you need in a classic holiday film?
You know, it's funny because Christmas Story and Christmas Vacation to me, mm-hmm, are two of the movies where I think are a little bit more cynical. Mm-hmm. And dark, but it also those two out of, like, say, It's a Wonderful Life, I honestly wonder if that is nostalgia for me, mm-hmm, in this category, because of the fact that I grew up watching those movies, and I would be really interested to see if I, you know, when I have kids in the next couple of years, if I sat them down and watched those two movies, if they appreciate them as much as I do.
Sure.
That's kind of like what Dawn was saying, where some of it's nostalgia. I almost feel like those movies are where they kind of draw the line of that. Mm-hmm. I don't, because all of us here have probably grew up with those two movies. So it'll be interesting. What do your kids think of those?
Actually, I don't think they've sat down and watched. They enjoyed National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. They thought it was funny. They found it entertaining. They haven't actually watched A Christmas Story yet, I think, and I don't think they're interested possibly in it. But you make it a good point about, you know, the nostalgia part of it, because I think our culture has changed on how families in general approach Christmas. And if you look at A Christmas Story and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, those are traditions that we kind of grew up with, but those traditions aren't exactly in the forefront anymore in our culture. Would you say, Scotty D, on that? Or would you say that still many people still follow those and can relate to, say, the incidences in, like, A Christmas Story and Christmas Vacation?
Well, you know, it's been so many years since I've seen Christmas Vacation, honestly. Mm-hmm. Chris, if I recall, it was about, of course, the Clark Griswold trying to show a traditional family Christmas, because that's what he tried to do throughout all the movies, is to do like traditional family things.
Right.
In an age where traditional family things were being tossed out the window. Now, I can tell you that Christmas Story, I still remember when that first came out back in 84, I want to say it was. Could be 83, but I think it was 84. And I loved it as a kid because it was marketed towards kids, and we all laughed. We thought it was funny. My mother, who took us to see the movie, howled during the movie because she remembered all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she remembered that. Like the scene where the kid – I mean, I got my mouth washed out with soap too when I swore.
You?
Oh, yeah. Imagine that. But I mean, like, yeah, it didn't take. But my mom howled because she said – oh, yeah, right down to it, the bar of Life Boy, sir, mm-hmm, soap. Really? I mean, that whole thing was like, yeah, that was totally, you know, where she was, like, growing up. Well, yeah, she, you know, she, let's face it, my mom was, like, one of nine kids, you know, and, you know, yeah, a lot, you know, and the parents didn't take any crap.
Sure.
Apparently, but, well, like, it was like, so, like, she could relate to a lot of that. I don't know if it relates to, I can't speak for future generations if they're going to relate to that, but it's like I said, traditions change,
mm-hmm,
but it depends on if the message is there.
Sure.
Christmas Vacation and Christmas Story, I don't know. They might become less relevant over time for some people, not for me, mm-hmm, but for some people. But I think a lot of Christmas movies have a message that continues on and on and on. And then, of course, there are those multitude of Christmas movies that have a message that is relevant for about 2 seconds. You know? Yes. And that's one of the ones that no one talks about anymore. Sure. We there are lots of holiday movies from years and years and years ago that they would release around the holidays. We only remember about a half dozen of them.
Sure.
From that classic, you know, golden age of, you know, the 40s, 50s, stuff like that. You know, why? Did they just stop making them? No, it's just that they didn't do it. Now, if you're somebody like me, you actually do sit down and watch Santa Claus Conquers the Martians because it's awesome. But but most people will decidedly say that the message falls flat.
Well, and then we have, you know, the traditional ones that are more towards kids that I think touch to us because we watched them as kids, and that's like the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which...
Oh, those are the specials. Those are timeless.
You know, those timeless ones, Frosty the Snowman. I mean, those are just good kids' films, I think. But parents, I think, enjoy them because they watched them as kids more so than them being – because they, you know – so I guess there's themes in there that the parents could still relate to today. What about those types of films, Dawn, would you say, for like Rudolph and for Frosty the Snowman, do we enjoy those because we grew up with them, or do we enjoy them now still because we can relate to them?
I hate to say it, but some of them are, I think, still really good. But when my kids were growing up, they had no interest in them whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
I mean, my husband and I love them, and we would watch them. We'd have every time they'd be on over the holidays, we'd have them on, and the kids were like, "Eh." They'd rather watch. I mean, I'm specifically referring to the Frosty, the Rudolph, the Rankin Bass.
Right.
Things.
Yep. The Rankin Bass.
Now you put on the Peanuts special, or the Garfield special, or those kind of things. They were all over that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it was the themes they were going for too much, but my kids just didn't. They watched them once or twice, but then they were done with it.
Sure. I have to chime in on this because, like,
go ahead.
It's really funny because I grew up watching like the Peanut and the Garfield ones, and of course like movies we've already discussed, like Scrooge and Christmas Vacation and Christmas Story. I don't remember watching the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I remember Frosty, but not something that I had to watch every year. So I think it was a couple years ago, Mark, and you might remember this, but me and my friend Matt, we sat down and we watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh, yeah.
I love stop motion, but like I could not help but like crack up and like make fun of that movie. I just thought it was so, like, it was so force-feeding, like, themes down your throat.
Really?
Ridiculous. Like, I totally get what Dawn's saying. I can totally see people appreciating the animation of it, but feeling it was too much. Like, it's just like, I mean, that entire movie is like, oh, we don't like you because of this. We don't like you because of this. And I remember it was funny because Santa Claus is such a dick in that movie.
I don't think I've ever heard that description used for Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. But he is kind of, yeah, you're absolutely right.
You know, come to think of it, even at the end, just before he begs Rudolph to help him all, after shutting all these years, he's like, oh, Rudolph, could you just turn it? That nose, man. Like, goddamn.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I mean, I looked at it from an adult perspective because I've never seen it before. You know, like, and I was watching it, and I was like, It just felt like so commonplace of like today in a lot of ways, but like just changing the themes, it was like, well, you're gay, so we don't like you. But you know, like, it wasn't in the thing. But it was like obviously like some of the characters seemed like they were gay, so it was kind of like they were saying that, you know, in a different way for kids.
Yeah, well, I always thought that the dentist thing, you could just take that as the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, folks, the spoiler room, we've just turned Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer into having the same themes as Nightmare on Elm Street 2. So, yeah. only here in the spoiler room.
I'll put your link in there on the bottom. It's only a 9-minute video. It was something that we did a couple of years ago when we first started We Live Film. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone will have an enjoyment after they're done with this and not to watch it.
We'll have to check that out, definitely. So, one other film, though, that did run across all five, and I think it's because of the theme of belief in something, and that's Miracle on 34th Street. Mm-hmm. That was one that hit on every list that I looked up. And I remember, and I thought it was okay, but... Cole, what about you and Miracle on 34th Street? I mean, it's a classic, but, you know, would you say that's a good film by itself?
I've seen it once, and probably maybe like 20 years ago, and I've also seen the remake, and I thought they were both affable. I mean, I can say that. They were, you know, the original specifically, it was likable. I can't really assess it. It's been so long. But I can say it was, you know, it was an affable film. There was nothing spectacular about it, but I definitely remember enjoying it, you know, and thinking, well, thumbs up, you know.
I mean, it's considered a classic, but is it, Don, a classic because it's Santa Claus themed? Or is there more? And is it a decent film, you know?
It's a decent film. This is one of those films, like I was talking about, that is a really great example of how our ideal for what happiness is has changed. Mm-hmm. Because this is very much success and happiness is based on her, Maureen O'Hara and her child, getting the big house and getting the new dad.
Sure.
It's very family valued, but family being mom, dad, baby, house.
Right. The white picket fence.
Exactly. Sure. And our ideal of what happiness should be has changed so that we're really pulling away from the relevance.
Mm-hmm.
It is a good movie though, but it is a good movie, but because that change has occurred, it's not going to be and hold up as that classic for our younger generations.
Well, you could just think about, like, that whole movie is pretty much centered around Macy's and the Thanksgiving parade.
Yep.
You know, and it's kind of like, what, you know, nowadays, you don't really get that excited about that. You know, like, our generations now. We don't care about that.
It's because they put it on so early in the damn morning. No one's awake.
My mother, though, will still watch. My still will still call me and say, it's on, it's on. It's got and she, because of that movie, because she grew up with that movie, she will still say, and Santa Claus is going to be there, the real one. And she always says that, you know, and she says it with, she knows that, you know, I know the real story and stuff like that. But of course, but she still says it with that joy because of that movie. That movie, I think, man, Dawn's comments are awesome on that. You're really right on that. I think that I love that movie. I think it's a classic. I think it's wonderful. Although I will say that I think that maybe in that case that it might be a lot of nostalgia because I grew up watching that with my mom every year and stuff like that. In case you're wondering when my dad was at all this, he was working a lot and everything. And he didn't give a shit about movies. But he was around. But I mean, I used to watch that all the time. But yeah, you're right about the absolute values of the film. But I think also, again, Miracle on 34th Street has been remade twice. You know, it had the one in the 90s with Mara Wilson, who was awesome. But otherwise, you know, who remembers it? There was a TV movie that they used to run the hell out of. aside from Tom Bosley playing the judge, I can't remember a thing about it. You know, the original, though, is, you know, the original is the original. I do think that it might be a lot of nostalgia, and I think that she's right. What was considered the stable home life American dream being the key to happiness.
Sure.
Yeah.
And Scott Mentel, you mentioned something about today's culture. Why would it show up then on everyone's list, even the list for 17, the magazine 17? Is it because of nostalgia and because it relates to Santa Claus, maybe?
Do you really think that a lot of people who write up these lists actually really watch the movies, or they just go off everyone else's list?
Oh, I'm sure they probably do in some
ways. I mean, maybe I'm being a cynical bastard, but I feel like...
Are you questioning the irreproachable credibility of the listicle?
No way. I would never do that. I believe everyone in the world has the same 10 movie picks. We all know them. But yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, I feel like it all kind of goes back to what you grew up with, mm-hmm. and what you grew up watching, and what your household was like. I don't know. I still feel like with every film, if film buffs, of course, like all of us in this group are film buffs. So, like, of course, It's a Wonderful Life is going to be on our list because we know that it's a great movie. It's a great made movie. It has good acting. It has a good story. But I almost wonder, and my wife always says this, is that if you showed someone that movie now who has never seen the movie in its, you know, growing up, or who isn't a film buff, if they will see it and appreciate it like we will. Sure. And I don't know. I just don't know.
Well, it is made different. As you said, Scott, those classics, films that are put in the classic territory were made different. Some of these films aren't exactly fast-paced, are they, Don?
Not really.
2 hours and 15 minutes for that one.
Yeah, yeah. Some of these classics, you know, even White Christmas and that, but they had musical numbers. They had performances, I think, that helped break things up a bit, which we don't have. We don't get that, I don't think, in the wide-release holiday film anymore, which is going to lead me to my last question for the evening here of the films in the last 15 years. Is there any holiday film that came out in the last 15 years that could be considered a classic? Because, I mean, I think part of those classics is because of the showmanship and the production that they put into it. And let's start off with Cole. Last 15 years, is there a film or two that come to mind that you think can be considered a holiday classic and maybe will be considered a holiday classic 20 years from now?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's a two-part question. You know, 20 years from now, probably all the movies on these lists, probably not. But there are many that came to mind right off the bat. Love Actually, of course. Mm-hmm. Is a phenomenal holiday film. You know, they count down the days to Christmas literally as a title card.
Sure.
Also, The Family Man is a phenomenal Christmas movie. I mean, true-blooded Christmas movie. Maybe that won't be around in 20 years. I think a lot of that probably has to do with people's attitude about Nicolas Cage. But I do think it's a really good movie.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Definitely a classic to me. Also, Fitzgerald Family Christmas, an mm-hmm. Edward Burns directed film. Wonderful movie. I just watched that a couple days ago. Probably won't be around in 20 years just because nobody's ever heard of it. Ed Burns as a director has done a lot of movies like that. He, you know, his films all have a very unique style. I think he's underrated, but that's a really, really good film. Really mm-hmm. good film just about the relationships between this very large family whose father abandoned them and is dying of pancreatic cancer and wants to come home for one last Christmas. Very well done.
Wow, doesn't sound very cheerful, I'll tell you.
Wow, that's heavy.
It is, but, you know, it's a Christmas movie for sure. To a lesser extent, I think Serendipity, you know, is a much maligned movie, but as, you know, a post 9/11, one of the initial movies that came out after 9/11, for its time and place, it was what was needed in the theaters. Sure. And I think it's a as a fairy tale. If you look at Serendipity as a fairy tale, it's a great Christmas movie. I mean, I watch it with my lady, for sure. Also, to a lesser extent, a guilty pleasure of mine is Just Friends with Ryan Reynolds. I think that's a hilarious film. I watch that just by myself every Christmas. My girlfriend can't stand it. But I think, like, Love Actually and Family Man. Mm-hmm. And there's also, you know, lesser known ones, but, you know, much appreciated, sure. Like The Holiday.
Yes, I was going to say that one.
Comes to mind.
Well, don't take everyone's Coles.
Four Christmases as well. I enjoy Four Christmases, Vince Vaughn's. Okay.
So you think, though, but you do think that in the last 15 years, there have been some films that will probably be, that are considered classics and made stand.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think Love Actually definitely fits that bill.
My wife would agree with you on that. We'll hop over to Menzel. Mr. Menzel, you watch a lot of films, especially new release stuffs for WeLiveFilm.com. So what would you say, is there a film or films that come to mind, a couple of them, that you would say considered maybe a modern holiday classic and will be a classic, say, 20 years down the road?
Honestly, he nailed Love Actually, because that movie, I watch it every single year. And, I mean, talk about lovable characters, relate, you know, a storyline that so many people can relate to in that movie. Everything from, like, a little kid falling in love for the first time to a father whose wife passed away. I mean, that's just a phenomenal film, and that one will definitely stand the test of time, just because it's really just a well-made, well-crafted film, and it's kind of cliched because it kind of tackles every aspect of a romantic comedy, but it works so well because it's kind of for both men and women, which I feel like so few romantic comedies are. Most men will actually say that they love Actually. In terms of other movies that came out, I really like The Best Man's Holiday. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really well done, and about a group of friends who haven't seen each other in a really long time. They get together for the Christmas holiday. It deals with some positive themes, some, you know, not so positive themes. Really loved that. I will agree. I also thought that The Family Man is great. Just a great themes. One of the more lesser-known documentaries that I really enjoyed was something called What Would Jesus Buy? I don't know if anyone's seen that. They kind of take a look. It's a comical look at the Christmas holiday, how it's become so much of more of about corporate greed and buying stuff rather than actually spending time with the family.
Wow, that sounds good.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's really funny.
And Don, what about you? Film you've watched, besides Love Actually, I think across the board we might all agree that Love Actually, but a film that comes to mind for you that in the last 15 years you could consider a holiday classic and, you know, stand the test of time 20 years later?
Well, mainstream and modern movies are so not my bailiwick.
Sure.
I haven't seen Love Actually or Family Man.
Sure.
Or pretty much any of the movies that could be even remotely considered romantic comedy. sorry. My Christmas standbys are A Cadaver Christmas and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. That's where my taste is. But revisiting the Santa Claus trilogy, and yes, I know the original one was a 90s movie, but the sequels are pretty solid, mm-hmm. and those were following the last 15 years.
Sure.
Polar Express would be the other one that mm-hmm. I can see still being relevant in 20 years.
Well, especially for that one, it's animated. The animation's decent in it, so that'll last. But also the themes in there appeal to a wide range for Polar Express. So
exactly,
and Tom Hanks is like the Jimmy Stewart. You know, you can't go wrong with him. Polar Express, I could definitely see that one being still very popular and considered a classic 20 years from now. So good choices there. And even Cadaver Christmas, you could put that in there as a cult Christmas classic for the horror fan in there. Horror fans have their genre films and holiday films as well that they go back to every year. So, Scott, how about you, Scotty D? What about you?
Well, I actually did a list on Moviocrity.com last year about which was a 4-part series going back like 50 years, all about non-traditional Christmas movies. But the ones that I think would be more traditional and what the things I think it's really interesting to note that the ones that I'm not going to pick anything really original here. I'm going to actually just second votes for Love Actually and also The Holiday, which I think gets overlooked. Cole mentioned it. Because I think that it's interesting that those are R-rated movies, and when you think about Christmas movies, you think something for the kids. I think it says a lot that some of our most memorable recent movies have actually been more R-rated movies that were intended towards more adult audiences. Although I'm sure that if they cut it up for TV, that you'd be happy to show your kids it. But, I mean, in their uncut form, you know, or for adults, I think it says a lot about how if you are even older, you don't have to kind of give up that still, like, wonder about the holidays and everything like that. I would say that those are some of the best ones in the last 15 years. I'm going to cheat and go back 21 years and say another one that I love is a kind of a comedy with a little bit of a mean streak to it, but it's The Ref. Love that movie. I know it's going back a little further than you said. It's 94, but I mean, I love that movie. I will say that there are a couple recent movies which honestly I don't care for very much, but I can see them people still talking about them in 20 years, and that would include The Polar Express and Elf. Two movies I don't really like that much, but honestly I can see for what they were doing, I can see people continuing to enjoy them.
Sure.
Yeah.
So even if I don't personally view it as a classic, I think a lot of other people will.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And, you know, those are some great examples you all gave for the films of the last 15 years that could be considered classics. But I still think the tone has changed a little to where it seems like the modern holiday film, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them, tend to go either a little too cheesy or they're poking too much fun at the joy and, let's just say, you know, over energy of the holidays, the positive energy. It always seems like they're always either poking fun a little bit too much at it or just saturating it so much to where you got Wilford Brimley coming out at the end of the movie going, diabetes.
I think that they are more calculated.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they're trying to convey optimism, it's like I said, I think audiences are smarter than they are often given credit for.
Yeah.
And people can sniff out when they're seeing something really, really cynical. Sure. You're still going to get a few people who say, wasn't Christmas with the Cranks a sweet movie? And then you're going to get those other people saying, no, it was actually a really sadistic and commercialized piece of crap, you know, and I don't honestly believe that there was an ounce of Christmas spirit in that movie. That's my opinion personally about Christmas with the Cranks, Deck the Halls, the Grinch remake, you know. I think that they were trying to convey a Christmas spirit. I don't think they had an ounce of it themselves, and I think that audiences can really tune into that, whether you're an adult or a kid.
Well, and how about this? Are modern holiday films afraid to go dark? Because one film that didn't show up on any of these lists, and you've mentioned it here, and I want to get Dawn here being our big horror fan and cult horror movie fan as well. But one of the films that didn't make on a list at all, and it's been mentioned that it's overplayed, is A Christmas Carol. the Ebenezer Scrooge story, the ghost story of Christmas, which is pretty damn dark and scary.
It's a ghost story. People used to tell ghost stories at Christmas, and that was a Christmas ghost story.
But I
still think that story's done to death.
it is done to death, and Scrooge brought it better. But, I mean, Scrooge was dark.
It's
A Wonderful Life is dark. Christmas Story is dark. Hell, even Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer cartoon and the original animated Grinch Stole Christmas are dark films. Do you feel, Don, that maybe modern holiday films are afraid to go a little bit that dark?
I don't think they're afraid to. Mm-hmm. I think that the writers and directors who are capable of doing it mm-hmm. are choosing not to.
Sure.
I watched because look, Jim Carrey just did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see that one for a reason. But you go back and it's been made and remade and remade and different interpretations of it done. And again, one of the better ones was Scrooged with Bill Murray. I was just before tonight's episode, I was watching, what did I say that was called? An American Christmas Carol?
Oh, yeah, An American Christmas
Carol. All American Christmas Carol.
It was terrible. Oh, my gosh. But it was a Christmas Carol set in a trailer park, you know, white trailer, or, you know, your trailer trash.
Sure.
A Christmas Carol. It's been done. It's been overdone. And I think that most of your modern directors and writers who would be able to do a decent handling of it simply won't, because beating a dead horse.
Sure. it's been beaten more dead than Bob Marley. Well, not Bob Marley.
Jacob Marley.
Bob Marley. Yeah, man. No.
That was in the Doctor episode that they had.
Yeah, man. Scrooge,
they had Julius Carey from Last Dragon play the ghost of Bob Marley.
Yes. Yeah, man. Just roll a joint and lean back and you'll see the Christmas past.
I like to point this out too, because I heard the Christmas with the Cranks complaining mm-hmm. multiple times, and I think it goes back to when you can tell people are passionate about making a movie and they want to tell a story, or they have like a love for a particular story and they want to tell it, versus people who are just grabbing it and saying, like, how much cash can you give me from this? Mm-hmm. And I was looking that up because that movie does come up. Like, a lot of people say, oh, that's what a terrible movie Christmas is with the Cranks is. And then I looked up who directed it, who is Joe Roth. And this is the man who has put a producer tag on pretty much every single, like, modern-day remake, Alice in Wonderland, Snow White, Oz the Great and Powerful, Maleficent, all these movies where you can tell, like, I just want the money. I don't care if it's good. I don't care anything at all about it. I just want the money because I know people are going to see it.
Yeah. Well,
I think we run into it. I mean,
Also, not for nothing, he used to be a studio head.
Yeah. But I think we run into that. I think that's a trend now in a lot of the film making, though. I mean, Cole, Don, and Scotty D, I know you guys are big horror fans, and Menzel, I know you watch horror too, but you look at a lot of the horror nowadays that's supposed to be widespread, and they're trying to play on the nostalgia or whatnot, but it just doesn't have that heart of the original horror. And I think the holiday films are the same way now, modern holiday films, is that they're trying to play on the nostalgia, but as Scott said, I think it's raining the money down and give me the money rather than doing it more, with more heart.
I think a big thing is, and I've been thinking about this recently. You know, we brought up like the R-rated Christmas movie.
Sure.
And it's funny because, you know, like Love Actually is so great, and like I think Best Man Holiday is either PG-13 or R. I don't know the exact rating on it. But again, more adult themes. But then I think of other movies like Bad Santa and also like The Night Before, which just came out. And I remember watching both of them and just thinking to myself, like, this is so much raunchy humor that it just goes over my head. Like, I can tell that there's a nice message somewhere in here, but the raunchiness and just appealing to the masses who are younger now, it kind of lost me.
Sure.
Yeah, that's how I felt about Bad Santa too, actually.
Yeah, Bad Santa, I'm like, yeah.
I know some people who swear by that movie, but I'm just not one of them.
Well, there's a sequel coming out. Just
yes.
So.
Oh, of course.
Yes, there is. I think you could say that about just about any movie being made right now.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to wrap it up here for the night. I hope people found this discussion interesting and you tuned in and enjoy this and gave you some insight on the classics, and maybe you'll approach them a little bit differently, or you may have heard of a few films that you may want to look up yourself to watch this holiday season. We're going to go down the line real quick where people can pimp their stuff on where you can find them. Cole, go ahead. You go first, sir.
Right now I'm on Facebook, Shadows and Lovers Productions. Also, Horror, or just find me, Cole Meredith.
Awesome. And Dawn, why don't you go ahead?
You can find me at intheaudience.net now that I've taken my yearly November off after the
October
Halloween
burnout.
In October. Yeah. I take November off. new stuff will start showing up there soon.
Awesome. And Scotty D, go, my man.
Hasn't been updated in an age, but I am still continuing with Moviocrity.com. You can also check out my web series, Moviocrity. Best place to look at that is Vimeo.com/channels/Moviocrity.
Fantastic. And Mr. Movie Man Manziel, Scott, go ahead.
So I just launched WeLiveEntertainment.com, which is where everything's going to be moved over to, so we're not limited to just film. And right now we're just going to focus on film and television shows, but it's become very popular, and I'd like to thank everyone who's contributed. And then also we always do the YouTube channel where you can find Mark every Thursday doing our Thursdays, which is YouTube.com/WeLiveFilm. And we have 7 different segments, 7 days a week.
Awesome. Plus you have a podcast you do every Friday or try to do, correct?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, we have a podcast every – it's nice.
Or Thursday. Sorry.
Well, no, it's good you're pointing it out. It is moving to Friday in the new year.
Oh.
GreatGorillaNetwork.com.
Awesome. So check out all of these fine folks' stuff. Links, as always, for everyone here are on the SpecialMarkProductions.com page under the Friends of Special Mark Productions, where you can find my stuff. You can find episodes of The Spoiler Room, both past and present. You can find my Final Cut reviews that I do, as well as the playlist for the stuff I do for We Live Film, and interviews as well that I've done. I did one recently with Audrey Cummings, who directed a indie film called Tormented, or was originally released as Berkshire County, so that was fun, but there's some other great stuff up there. But specialmarkproductions.com, one-stop shop for all my projects and all your Mark the Movie Man needs. So we appreciate you listening in tonight on the holiday episode. We've got a couple more coming up. Of course, next week, the obvious one we will be doing is the Force Awakens episode of the Spoiler Room. That should be interesting. And our final 25th anniversary episode will be Crybaby and Edward Scissorhands. Both are Johnny Depp films, both came out in 1990, and both are films we will discuss at the end of the year. And the voting is in, and it is done for our special 4-0 series that we will be doing on 2016, where we'll be covering films from 1976. You have voted, they have been tallied, and look for that announcement soon of what those films will be. Because here in the Spoiler Room, the conversation is fresh, but we do spoil the movies.